Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Oh, wait, did we start? So are we starting the thing for the people who are listening afterwards?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the special podcast series with Patrick and I. Hi, Patrick. What's going on over there? Yes,
wait,
we're going.
Say hi, Patrick, or I'm Patrick.
I said hi, Patrick. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Scott, I'm Patrick Beja. We do this every year for the crazy people who like to listen to us comment over the people who show us games at E3. Do you have the sound up?
I do.
On your end?
I do. Everything's great.
We're late on Jedi Fallen Order, and so we're gonna be using this opportunity to talk about Jedi, which I saw, the 15 minutes gameplay reveal.
Yeah.
Stadia, which Google had a kind of Nintendo Direct type thing a couple of days ago. And then, I don't know, a couple of other things. I guess this is the introductory commentary track for E3 2019 from Scott and Patrick.
Yes, I would say that is correct. And also, it's important to note here that we're going to be talking over audio that is basically Respawn talking about what Fallen Order is going to be about. But Patrick saw the actual presentation. I was here late due to some reasons.
Due to Randy. I mean, we can say it. It's Randy's fault.
Yeah, it's always Randy's fault. It was a film sack thing, but it all worked out in the end. These guys, they're probably saying some important stuff about the game. I don't know. But what did you think of the actual presentation? What happened there?
I'm not sure how important the stuff they're talking about is. Maybe it is, but the really important thing was the 15 minutes of gameplay footage for Jedi Fallen Order. For those who don't know, this is Respawn behind this game. Respawn is a venerated developer, originally from most of them from Infinity Ward behind the Call of Duty series. And they went on to do Titanfall and more recently Apex Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had high hopes for Jedi Fallen Order. We didn't see anything at the presentation a couple of days ago, months ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop burying the lead here. I didn't like it.
When you say you didn't like it, like what do you, like gameplay systems, like story, like what was rubbing you wrong?
It's hard to judge. So it's a third person action, mostly melee game.
Yeah.
And you play a Jedi, which seems kind of generic. It did seem generic back then, but the gameplay seems generic. Mm. And that's like, it felt like they wanted us to be excited, me to be excited about it. And so I've been browsing Twitter to see if I'm crazy. And a few people have been saying, oh no, it looks exciting. It looks really good. So maybe it's just me, but it felt flat. It felt to me kind of, it was not dynamic at all. It was this Jedi dude walking around, not doing much, and you know, force pushing stuff and waving his lightsaber around. The combat didn't feel dynamic at all. It felt like something from 10 years ago.
Mm.
And I'm super surprised because I have a huge amount of faith in Respawn. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it's not looking super good in from the 15 minutes we've seen.
It sounds to me like you are echoing everybody's fears leading up to the showcase. And that being that, mm-hmm. that it was not going to impress in terms of like next generation type gameplay or anything, that it feels like a game that could have been made for the PlayStation 2. We just have better, you know, graphics and environments and, you know, all the things that come with the technical achievements of modern day gaming. But gameplay wise, this is not going to break any new ground. And hearing that bums me out, because I was already thinking, well, we don't know enough, guys. We've only had a teaser. You know, like, this is not enough information. But if you're telling me you still came away with that impression after this presentation,
and it might be just me, you know, it might totally be just me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like, okay, now I'm walking, the character is walking around for a minute. And then there's a tiny arena where you have to defeat five guys. So you do that. And then there's a little bit of traversal, almost Uncharted type traversal. And then, oh, another arena with another three enemies. Maybe the fun is in the gameplay itself. Maybe you get, you know, some exciting powers and chaining them together and all of that. But it didn't translate to me through the gameplay. So
that bums me out.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think...
I hope I'm wrong.
It's probably reductive for me to say, well, this is the team that's trying to actively keep the, at least initially, very successful Apex Legends alive, and at the same time push a Star Wars title out with all of that, all of what that entails, which is, you know, dealing with Disney and dealing with Kennedy and all the people that are involved in this thing and trying to, you know, walk that line. And at the same time, they've got this very popular free-to-play thing. But obviously, they've got enough teams to handle both games. But it does make me wonder, you know, like, Are they spread a little too thin?
I wonder if it's not so much an issue of a team, but an issue of genre. Mm. Like, this is third person, and it's a they've always done first person. Mm-hmm. So I wonder. Yeah. But the Apex thing is starting. Do you want to?
Yeah, let's talk about this, I guess. That? So, oh, it's another dude on a couch.
Yeah. It's so. EA was basically not going to be doing a conference. And it's not a conference. It's a series of like five different streams. I don't think we're going to go to the end of it because there's some sports after Apex and even Battlefield 5. I don't know if Battlefield is your jam.
Not really. It's not mine, I mean, so. And as far as I know, they're not, along with Apex Legends, I don't know that they're going to say much that we don't already know. These are games that are in the wild and all that. So we don't really have a...
Exactly. It's going to be like updated content, season 2, 3, whatever. But yeah, so it's a relatively slow thing for EA anyway. So it's they are making it into a little bit more than it was supposed to be originally, because originally they were supposed to have like different streams throughout EA, and I think someone realized it was a really bad idea. But look, Apex cosplays, they're pretty impressive.
They are impressive, if not a little goofy, how far they're going to create their like static animations. I'm a little bugged by it, but it's fine, whatever.
It's okay. They're showing off some, you know, the jump pads that were introduced a few months ago. There's an event now. I don't know how much we can discuss this, because are you still playing regularly Apex?
No, I kind of fell off. So you know how I usually gauge the temperature of these games is how deep and long my kids play them, especially Nick, because he's super into this genre. He's really into, you know, Battle Royale in general, and he's kind of fallen off. They're all big Siege players now. They really want to play that game mostly. So I don't know what
Siege?
Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh, right. That game never dies.
Yeah, that seems to be doing really well for everybody who loves it. My thing is, I play these battle royales for a while, but then I hit a ceiling and go, well, I'm never going to beat all these chuckleheads. I'm never going to be good enough. And I don't have time to grind it in a way that will make me better. So I kind of fall off of them generally. That's just a genre problem that I have. I will note, though, as I'm watching this video, they are clearly answering one of the great complaints from players, which is skins are boring. They're going a little further here. These skins are way less boring than they used to be or than they've been traditionally. So this is obviously not just repaints of existing skins. This is them deciding to really go in on that. And that's a big part of why people play these games. It's the prestige of unlocking the cool thing that someone else doesn't have yet. So that's good to see. But if rumors are to be believed, and I don't know how much of it's rumor and actual reports, but the game is having you know, the honeymoon's over. Now they're kind of not as in the news as they used to be. They're not as forefronty in gamers' minds. People are sort of back to playing the current beast in the room, which is Fortnite. And I wonder how much of that is just hearsay or things I hear on the internet, or if that's actually true that they've seen a drop in players. I don't know. But I do think they have to sort of really push to keep things alive, get their up their skin game, you know, take this thing to the next level. And it looks like maybe they're trying to do that here with this show. I don't know.
Yeah, the Wraith cosplay character is getting weird because she's really just doing the Wraith, like, ooh, I'm mysterious. And
yeah.
I'm, like, moving, like, in a very... Now that you mentioned it, it is, oh, now they're bumping butts.
Well, at least they, right. Yeah, at least they did a little improvisation there. That was all right.
Yeah. So we've seen the entirety of the. I'm not hearing anything from you, by the way, from the stream.
Oh yeah, you shouldn't. I think you should have. You should be playing your own because then you're not out of sync.
Oh right, okay.
Remember, because I'm not recording. This is the good way. So now you don't have to listen to this and be all out of sync anymore. But
you're recording the thing.
Correct.
So yeah, now they're gonna, I guess, essentially, without listening to it, the only thing I take away from this stream reveal thing is cool skins, but I'm sure people who do play Apex regularly are gonna be like, oh my god, this is awesome, with that exact voice. Yeah, do you want to? We'll keep it in the background.
Yeah,
but if you want to talk about Stadia.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. What I'll do is I'll keep this down in the background. People are watching this live in the chat room. They can see it happening.
Oh, so it was
time.
A recap of season one. Now we're seeing season two.
Well, they're launching season two. Yeah,
they're
so
talking about it. Yeah,
their new battle pass. They're talking about all the stuff they're going to add. I mean, this is going to be very meaningful for specifically for Apex players. This is not a surface look. This is a deep dive for those players, and so I think that's going to be interesting to some people, but our audiences are going to be a lot more big picture, especially for this particular conference that we try to do every year. So let's talk about, say they're talking about a new weapon right now, which is exciting and all, but don't care about new weapons. Let's talk about Stadia and our impressions of what was announced. We have pricing, we have a release month, we don't have a date, but a month. We have a bunch of details, games that will be available for it. It is not a Netflix all-you-can-eat thing like everybody had sort of hoped. It is absolutely not that. So your impressions,
yeah,
your take.
Let me summarize it maybe for people very quickly.
Sure.
Essentially, Stadia is, the business model is not, as you said, a subscription. It is, at some point in the future, in 2020, you will just buy the games and play them, but you have to pay for them full price.
Right.
You also have an option, if you want to get better streaming than 1080p, to pay a subscription, which is $10 a month. And at that point, you get 4K streaming and one free game, or maybe a couple more, every month. And that is like a PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold type deal. But the games themselves, you have to pay for each one individually. And there's also an option for getting into the service this November, which is a Founders Pack, which is like $130. And you get a 4K Chromecast, a controller, 3 months of game time, and Destiny 2, the full thing with the upcoming expansion that's coming in a few months.
Yes.
And the season pack. Not the season pack, the annual pass for that.
Right.
So, yeah, very somewhat different from what people expected, even though some people didn't.
I mean, I think you and I had talked about it before, maybe on MVGB or somewhere, but we've had this discussion before. In the end, it's a platform. It's literally like a new console without the console. It's a cloud-based thing. You still need some hardware to go, certainly initially. Like, one thing they didn't talk about, or maybe they did and I missed it, and so maybe you can clarify this, but like, if I just want to fire up Stadia on my PC and go with my controllers I've already got, I don't think that's possible yet. I don't think they're offering
it. Yes,
yet.
Well, not yet, but it is possible. I pretty much think that the people who will be using the service come November will be able to do that too.
Yes, if that's the case, then it's more interesting to me. But at the end of the day, if you're telling me, hey, guess what? Brand new, whatever the game is, I can't think of one. Let's say a new Elder Scrolls game is coming out. That game is now available for PlayStation 5, Xbox Next, and Stadia. I'd probably just get the and PC. I'd probably just get the PC version or the PlayStation version. Like, I'm not. Why would I? Well, there's not a compelling reason here. The only difference is I don't have a piece of hardware, and now I am beholden to the internet gods to make sure I'm always good. Normally, I don't complain about that. Normally, I'm one of those people. It's like, forget about connections. They catch up with the technology. We all said this about Netflix when it happened, and now look at us all. We're all very happy with the way Netflix works. So it's not that so much as it is, where's the extra value right now, especially at launch for me? And I don't see it. Like, where's the, I don't have it here. It's not in front of me.
Yeah, that's exactly my beef with it. I had to think about it really long to understand what I was unhappy about. Because if you take it on the face of it, as you said, it's, and as we discussed before, it's a platform. So it's essentially a console without the console. Benefit, you don't need to pay for, you know, $300 or maybe even more when they launch a generation of new console. Mm-hmm. You don't need to maintain your hardware. You don't need to lug it around if you're playing at someone else's place with a fast Wi-Fi, because you need a fast Wi-Fi. So that's convenient. But flip side, you also need a fast connection, which some people will have, some people won't. But so, you know, there's an upside and a downside. But beyond that, it's really just a console where you don't need to buy the console, and it's super top-notch for now. Supposedly, it could be upgraded without you doing anything in the future. Awesome. But that is not incredible. And I think what bothers me is that Google is known for coming into a market and changing things, like doing something interesting with the way the business model and the way that industry works. Mm-hmm. And they're not really doing that here. Of course, again, you know, streaming is very different, but I don't think, as you said, they're offering the gamer in the end something that is significant. And I wonder, you know, the issue, the thing that would prevent me from maybe buying the game on Stadia instead of somewhere else, mm-hmm, is, as you said, you know, it might not stick around forever. The others, I believe that Google is going to keep Stadia around for at least, you know, 5 to 10 years minimum. So who knows what happens after that? I think that's a reasonable amount of time,
yeah,
for some people, most people, I think myself. But it's like, yeah, well, but Sony and Microsoft are proven quantities, so I'd rather, if Stadia brings me nothing, then I'd rather go with that. And the service now that they're going to launch in November feels very, very much like a beta.
Yeah, it's very thin.
They're limiting the access by this $130 thing, which I'm getting, by the way. I'm going to test it out.
Yeah.
And they said there's a limited amount of founders. I would have felt a lot better about it if they had said, we're launching a beta in November. Mm-hmm. We're going to select a number of people. Mm-hmm. If you want to apply, go there. But saying they're launching the service, and also, by the way, it was super confusing how they presented it, because there are some interesting games on the service, including Baldur's Gate 3 and a couple of others. But it was very confusing. I thought for a moment, until the internet corrected me vehemently, that you got all those games for those $9 or $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been, of course, incredible, and it was so incredible that it wasn't real. But
well, even if it was old games or a collection of not new games, you know, yeah, like I would have been
and
thrilled.
And I think down the line, that's coming, yeah, I think. But that's why I say it feels like a beta. Like, it's a half measure, it's a half step in many ways. So I think ultimately when we're going to see, and that's why they're launching now, I think, because once the Microsoft and Sony's of the world do the same thing, essentially, except you also have the option for a console,
mm-hmm,
there isn't really a compelling reason to get a game on Stadia rather than Sony or Microsoft, because at least you could, I think that's how it's going to work. You can either stream it, or you can download it and play it locally. And you kind of have this feeling that you have it in your hard drive, so it feels better, even though it's a digital thing that they might take away from you, whatever.
Right, and especially given, well, we don't know what Microsoft's going to do on Sunday, and that's going to be very interesting because their cloud strategy is, as of yet, a slightly unknown. We know they're going to do some stuff, but we don't know what that stuff is or what it means.
We suspect, but yeah, it's going to be Stadia with a console. So if you buy a game on their service, you can either play it streaming or download it to your console,
which is, strikes me as the better way to go.
Yes,
because you're, if you do see this as the future, great, and I'm all about making steps toward that future, but have some half measures, you know, because you're gonna need them. There's no I don't know what that sound was. There's no jumping to it immediately. I think you've got to do you just have to have a softer approach to this, and I hope that's what they're planning.
Well, I think, so by the way, Apex Legends just had a weird looking animation introduced their season 2. I don't think it was that good looking, but
it looked all right. It looked like a attempt at story that's highly unanimated. Yeah, like it's just comic looking. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't.
But I think, you know, that's why I'm saying I'm disappointed by what, a little bit, you know, we'll see what happens. I think there's value in going to, you know, a web page or YouTube video, wanting a game, and you just click buy, you start playing immediately. There's no install, no launching Steam. So there is value there. But it's not enough to differentiate themselves. And that's why I'm disappointed. I would have hoped they would have done something like give one game, you know, let everyone play every game free for 1 hour. Maybe that's too much. I don't know. Maybe that's too much, you know, bandwidth if you give that to everyone. And but something to make it more compelling. I guess we're repeating ourselves now.
Right. But I couldn't agree more. And I think that's been the general reaction. I think there are some people.
I think it's going to be great for some people.
Some people are stoked and are pre-ordered that thing already and are ready to roll. You're getting it, of course, you know, more for, I'll probably end up with it because it's, you know, these are business reasons why we kind of have to know what this stuff's going to be. But I guess I was just hoping it would be more with Google's, I don't know, with Google's reach and money and ability to make a deal with whoever, that perhaps they would have come up with a way to do something closer to the Netflix idea or something like it at launch. And instead what we're getting is just, hey, what if your games were on a remote server and if you have good internet, you could play them that way and then not worry about upgrading your video cards or not worry about buying an expensive console box or, you know, that's really the only value proposition here is don't, you know, are you okay with a little latency? Then sweet. Here you go.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's also, you're going to get the games cheaper if you're subscribed at the $10, the Stadia Pro. But they can't go so cheap that it's going to be really compelling, because even if they only take a cut of, you know, 12%, that's the editors, the developers want to get a decent amount of money when the game sells on Stadia. So they can't sell it too cheap. Even if they take a tiny cut, even if they take, I don't know, let's say they take 30%. And if you are subscribed, they waive their 30%. It's a decent amount of money, but I don't think they can take 30% with a new service that is launching. So I don't know.
Quick update on Apex. They're introducing a new character. I didn't catch her name. She makes a fence, an electric fence. And that seems kind of cool, I guess. I don't know. Shoots guns, too. That's the one thing all of them do. But she is apparently some sort of fence maker, electric fence maker. And this guy's got some serious gauges. But anyway, I'll throw that out there.
We could talk about the games a little bit. But do you have anything else you want to say on Stadia itself?
On Stadia as a platform, it's just... I know what I was going to say. The other concern I have about the model is that it, you know, everyone always says, well, Google gives up on stuff too fast, right? Like, oh, they'll make a cool service and then back out. Or they'll say, Google Plus is going to be the greatest thing ever. And then they drop it. And they don't, in theory, give it enough time to really flesh it out. Nah, and I agree they're true. They do that with a lot of things, like a lot of little things. But I think this is a bigger investment for them. But it doesn't give me extra confidence when they basically do the easy thing, which is, hey, it's just like games, except it's on our servers. Like, this feels like a path of least resistance for them. Does that make sense? And I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
That doesn't excite me. That makes me go, oh, well, if this doesn't work, you guys haven't lost anything. You're out of here. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
Yeah. That's,
So I don't know.
They're showing off their motion capture technology, hand motion capture technology now on Apex Legends, which is, you know, it might seem like an unimportant thing, but when the hands are the only thing you're seeing when you're playing, when it's a first person shooter, it does matter a little
bit. Yeah, that's, they're showing all the mocap. That's pretty cool. Anyway, yeah, so that's Stadia. Let's talk about the games.
So Baldur's Gate 3,
yes!
From Larian Studio. So that makes you happy.
Oh my gosh, I can't be more excited. But it's not, again, I'll get the PC version, which is absolutely getting that game, so it's not like there's some exclusivity going on, but Baldur's Gate 3, Larian Studios, responsible for the original Sin games, which the last one was insanely good, and if they're bringing that prowess to the Baldur's Gate universe, it's absolutely a match made in heaven. They should make that game. No one else should make it. BioWare shouldn't even make it. It should be made by those guys, and I am jazzed, so excited about it.
For those who don't know, BioWare is the original developer of the Baldur's Gate series.
Yes, 1 and 2. Then that was 20 something. What was it?
20 years ago.
20 plus years ago. Yeah. So finally getting 3, and then I just honestly, it's the studio game match made in heaven.
I mean, isn't Divinity kind of Baldur's Gate 3 and 4?
Yes,
already.
Yes, like, that's my whole point. Like, what they'll get to finally do is use the property that started all this. They get to make a D&D game.
Is it going to be different? Like, is it going to be exciting because you already know the... Like, they've already done it, kind of, except it's not called Baldur's Gate, but...
I mean, it depends.
I don't know if they're going to do something that is...
Like, we don't even know if this thing is, like, isometric, you know, top-down. We just don't know enough information about it yet, about what they're going to do, because all they showed was this, you know, pre-rendered trailer, which was pretty neat. The trailer's really cool. Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. Like, I don't know. Like, who knows? But they made a very big, very compelling, story-rich, character-rich experience where oil on the floor mattered. Like, in a D&D, like a proper D&D game, that stuff's going to be huge.
My question is, will it be... what will make Baldur's Gate different from... I didn't play Baldur's Gate, by the way. I know it's sinful, but I apologize. Do you think Baldur's Gate is going to be different from Divinity? Like, cooler? What makes it different and cooler?
Well, first of all, they'll carry on the story of Baldur's Gate, which was already rad. These guys are the best in the world right now when it comes to, hey, we need to make a turn-based strategy title where, all of the things that go with that, you know, making basically a video game representation of a D&D tabletop type experience. Nobody's doing like they are. They're so good at it. So I guess what I'd say is, if you're into that genre, this is the best news you've heard all year, because these are the right guys to do it. Now, will it bring anything super new to the genre? Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't be more excited, though. I'm so jazzed about it.
Yeah, you're not the only one. A lot of people are super excited.
Yeah.
They also announced, so we mentioned Destiny 2. There's a lot of things happening with Destiny 2 now that Bungie, that's their name, is a free agent and publishing their own game.
Yep.
Essentially, they're making Destiny 2 and the first expansion free to play, or maybe just the Destiny 2, the basic game. But you can go to max level kind of immediately, and the end game is going to be what you do with your friends. And that is what you need to pay for if you want the latest content. It makes a lot of sense for games that have a long life like this. You don't want people to have to slog through like 40 hours of content to come and play with the people who have been playing before. So that's really cool. It's going to open up the game to a lot more people. And they also have crossplay enabled across all platforms. So I'm sorry, not crossplay, but cross-save,
correct.
Which is a lot more important.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can take your character from PlayStation 4, it's been confirmed on PlayStation as well, PlayStation 4 to Xbox to Steam. It's coming on Steam, by the way, and moving off of Battle.net probably, yeah. and on Stadia. So that's pretty cool. More likely, you're going to have to buy the game. I mean, the free-to-play version stays free-to-play. But if you want to play the latest stuff, then you're going to have to pay for that on each platform you want to play it on, which I think is reasonable. But at least your character can jump around. Yeah, I'm super excited about this. I recently got back into Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I played for a few months over the spring. And it is such a good game. It's so good. They have an incredible ability to motivate people to keep playing and find secrets and get the latest item. And the gameplay is still as fun as it was. I think it lowers the barrier to entry. And that's exactly what the game needs at this stage of its life. I don't know that... a lot of people are saying, oh, this is because they're finally away from Activision. And maybe some of it is the case. I think a lot of it is also because of where the game is in its life cycle now. But yeah, I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, that's cool, especially if you're a fan of that. And also, it effectively gets around the cross-play problem. Because at the very least, it may not be as elegant, but if you've got a cross-save solution and your friends say, dude, I know you're playing on PC, but we'd love to have you in our group tonight over on PlayStation 4. Just go over there and play with them. Your save transfers now. Like, it's effectively cross-play.
Like, if they're playing the latest expansion, which is, what's the name of it? Shadowkeep, I think.
Yeah.
Then you need to buy it on that new platform as well.
Right.
So, but it's a relatively small expansion, and there's an annual pass as well. It gets a tiny bit murky,
yeah.
But at least you can do it. And for a game, you know, yeah, I think this also, yeah, it does make it a lot.
Also, I'm a huge fan of just cross-save for everything, and I wish it was more common.
Oh, like, yes.
I love that I can do that on Steam when it's a Mac and a PC game can be played in different places and have cloud saves. That's more important to me than the fact that I didn't have to buy it twice. I don't mind that. Like, if I've got a...
Yeah.
I've been playing, for example, Hand of Gilgamesh, SteamWorld Quest on Steam.
I believe it's pronounced Gilgamesh, if you'll allow me to be snooty.
Well, no, it's Gilgamesh in the game because it's a bunch of robots. So it's on purpose.
Oh, clever.
Yeah.
Okay, you got me.
Yeah, I got you there. Nice correction there, Frenchie. Anyway, so there's that. but then I want to play it on my Switch, which I also have a copy of. And for me to play it on my Switch, I just have a set, you know, it's a whole different ecosystem. I don't have a shared save. If they could figure out a way to do that for every game, always, forever, I would buy more games on more platforms because I know that I'd be able to play, you know, I'd have my progress. That's what I want, my progress.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm going to pay for the Destiny 2 expansion on PC so I can play on both platforms now.
Right.
I'm going to give them more money.
But, yeah, well done.
Oh, look, the Apex stream is done.
So yeah, they're done now.
Is Battlefield.
Battlefield 5, you know, a video game that is already out. They're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Do you notice on that list over there, nothing, all of that, first of all, are either new sports games or, in the case of the last one, the Sims, which is, I mean, pretty much from FIFA forward is pretty boring. But there's no talk of Anthem anywhere in this. No Anthem talk.
No, of course not. Yep. Of course not. What would they say?
Yeah.
We're sorry?
Yep. It's pretty rough, man. Like,
yeah.
I worry for them.
It's a good thing that they're not even mentioning it. I think, you know, work on it for a year, get the game in a state that is a little bit more acceptable, and then say, hey, we fixed it. Come back and play it more. And I really hope that they, like, it's going to be with an expansion, right? And yeah. I hope, against hope, that they give the expansion to the people who pre-ordered the original game.
Yeah.
Because if you have to pay for it again, or that they move to a, you know, season pass model or whatever. But so yeah. Any other games from the Stadia announcement? There are a couple of exclusives. One called Guilt, which looked really interesting. Mm-hmm. A puzzler where you play a young girl in a world of nightmares and what seemed like bullying, like really artistically interesting. And the other exclusive is, what's it called? Moving Day or Moving Boxes? Get Packed.
Get Packed. Get Packed. It sounds like a rude thing to say to somebody, but sure.
A little bit. It feels essentially like Overcooked, but with a different premise, which is you're moving boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything to say about those?
They look fine. They looked like a lot of fun. The Get Packed one looked like a really fun sort of multiplayer thing. I mean, they didn't strike me as anything like that's going to make people drop their wallets and grab money and throw it at it. They felt like,
you know,
they're unknown quantities. I guess I'd need to play them and, you know, see if they're really going to be for me or not. But at the moment, I don't know. I guess I should say they didn't blow my mind. Put it that way.
I think if Google gives us two games a month out of that list, that is, you know, I'm going to read through the big ones on the list because it's like 30 games and they're going to have more. They said, you know, after E3, we're going to give you more games that are going to be available on the platform. But Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Baldur's Gate 3, Borderlands 3, The Crew 2, Darksiders, Genesis, which is essentially Diablo.
Yeah, which I'm very excited about. But I forgot to mention that one. I'm stoked about that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Diablo. If you like Diablo, I think this is, at best, probably going to be as good. So I don't know.
If you like Diablo and you also like the Darksiders universe, it feels like a little match made in heaven. Darksiders 2, in a lot of ways, was trying to be more of an action RPG than the first game, which was more like a Zelda game. So that combination is super interesting to me. We don't know a lot about it, but my interest is peaked early on that one. So yes. Right. And is that exclusive? It isn't, is it?
No. Okay. That's not. The only two exclusives are Guilt and Just Dance.
Okay.
Destiny 2, Doom Eternal. I'm going to go faster. Of course, the one we were all waiting for, Farming Simulator 19. I make fun, but that game is played, especially in Germany.
Dude, I like the farming games. I no hate here. I think they're cool. I don't know why I like them, but I do. They're fun.
Metro Exodus, Mortal Kombat 11, NBA 2K, Power Rangers, Battle for the Grid. Okay. Rage 2, what else? Samurai Showdown, the Tomb Raider games I mentioned, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, the new Ghost Recon, The Division 2, Thumper, Wolfenstein, Youngblood. So, if they give us a couple of games a month from this list, and they don't, you know, they give one big one and one small one, that could be a compelling thing.
Yeah, it could be well worth that money. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we're only talking $10 a month. That's pretty solid. And they need to do something like that. It can't just be we're delivering 4K, because truth is, I don't even care about the 4K as much as I do a good 1080p stream.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
And so you got to give me another reason to give you money than that. And this is a decent reason. So
this is the list of games that they have right now on the platform.
All right.
Let's say I buy the thing and I get 3 months free.
Yep.
What would they give me? You know, it's either fantastic games or kind of very niche / not duds, but very niche games. Like, let's say they give me the first month Just Dance and Farming Simulator. Yeah. I've got to be a bit pissed, right? So maybe Rage 2. If they're not like games that people want, like if it's Rise of the Tomb Raider, it's a game that's 2 years old, or what? No, Rise is 4 years old.
Yeah.
And Tomb Raider, the original one, is like they can't give you those super old games. I think people would be frustrated at that.
I think more fun mid-ground sort of indie stuff I'd be into. Like more of that.
Maybe, yeah. I think they need to give like one big game. When they launch, you know, that's what Sony did. When Sony, started PlayStation Plus. Yeah. And they were like, oh crap, Microsoft is doing this really cool thing where they're giving you games every month. We have to do the same thing. Initially, to get people on board, the games they were giving were incredible. They weren't, you know, the latest game, but they were a game from the past, I think big games from the past 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
That is what they would need.
Yeah. And
so one big one, one smaller one.
That's true. Quick update on what they're showing right now. They're showing a new map in Battlefield 5. Apparently, very authentic location in World War II. Don't know much more about it because haven't really heard the guy say, but it seems like more Battlefield 5. So for those who are wondering what's happening in real time here, we're looking at more Battlefield 5. And, you know, great for its fans. I'm stoked for you that they're supporting your game and you know, things are moving forward there.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like this is another year where, it may only be marketing right now, and that's all that's doing it, but people are now suddenly piqued interest in Call of Duty again because they've decided to call it Modern Warfare and bring back Captain Price and reset that story, and they're tugging on everybody's nostalgia strings, so people are really jazzed about that, and I don't know, Battlefield 5 feels like it's just sort of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I'm interested in Modern Warfare. We'll see. I hope it's not too, you know, bleak and war is war. Although, you know, it's Modern Warfare.
It does seem like they're going a little more self-serious, but it's hard to tell from this angle.
All right, you know what? Let's cover a few pre-E3 news really quickly so we can be made fun of afterwards when we actually know what's happened. Although it's just one leak. But Game Pass coming to PC. That's really cool, obviously.
Been waiting for that. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's very nice. 14 games coming to the Microsoft conference. I'm sure not all of them are going to be super awesome, incredible things. But
it's pretty strong, though.
It's a lot. And that's going to be interesting. I'm sure they're not going to give all the information about the next, the next console. They're going to do a little bit of a, not a teasing, but, you know, they're going to explain the system. I don't think they're going to give release dates or prices, or they're going to explique.
They're going to explique, yeah.
They're going to explique the high-level concept of the console, of the system. Death Stranding coming November 8th.
Yeah.
Dude, I would have bet a hand that it wouldn't come out before at the very least end of 2020.
Yeah, so I was more like in my head, I was like 2021 at the least. He never gets a game done this quickly. And yeah, they've been working on it for 3 years. But I think part of this too is, you know, it used to be over at Konami, they just say, well, here, take all the money and time you need. Yeah. And because it's all we have, right? Like, we don't have any other games anyone cares about, so just do whatever you got to do, Kojima. And he would do that. He would take his time. I think Sony, who's the primary backer here, is less interested in doing that. I think they're not giving him as much rope. So I don't know that that will reflect poorly on the game or make it seem less than it could have been, but I definitely get the sense that they're not letting it just sit and simmer for too long. They want to get that thing out.
Yeah, someone mentioned it might be like a Ground Zeroes type situation where you get half a game or an intro to the game and the real one comes on the next generation.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the case, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not the longest game in the world. But it doesn't need to be. And it seemed more interesting. Every time I see the game, it seems more interesting than the time before.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm intrigued. And
it's so weird looking. What a weird freaking thing that trailer is. So weird. Yeah.
It is definitely, like, if he can somewhat tie it together in something, in a manner that half makes sense, I'll be impressed already, because the imagination of the world he's building is intriguing, and it's something you don't really see anywhere else. So.
Yeah.
The Last of Us Part 2 is rumored to be coming out beginning of next year, so 2020. It was originally planned for end of this year, but it was pushed according to rumors.
You know what's going to happen there? I'll tell you what's going to happen there. That thing is going to be just like the first Last of Us. It'll come out on PlayStation 4, and then there'll be a super HDified fancy one that'll be on whatever the PS5 is when it hits, because it's going to be the same kind of thing. Crossover time, get it out, get the player base playing it, and then let's release it again and make a bunch more money. That's the thing.
And I will buy it twice.
Of course you will.
Or three times. Although, you know, the game will be playable on the next console as well, so it will look better. But I guess, yes, they're going to make it look even better.
Yeah, they're going to make money.
What else? There's a rumor about a crazy Watch Dogs game called Watch Dogs Legion that we will know in a couple of days. But you can recruit NPCs to your like elite hacker squad, and then you can play any of them. You can play any NPC, and apparently it has implications with the gameplay and the story. And so that seems like an interesting concept. I wonder if it's not going to be too gimmicky in the actual game, but. An interesting concept.
Yeah, the idea that, I mean, they made a big deal about how all the NPCs have their own unique animations, their own voiceover. I think they probably mean it's like 10, you know, there's not, can't be infinite, because it's not like these things are, you know, generated on the fly or whatever. So I don't really know what to make of that yet, but Ubisoft's kind of my developer of choice at the moment. I really like everything they're doing. Huge fan. Well, I kind of fell off of Division 2, but that's got its own reasons. I think that game's just not made for me so much, but I think they've just got incredible work happening right now kind of across the board, and they're supporting their games in ways that other developers aren't, so I'm automatically interested in where they go next with Watch Dogs, and I think there's a lot of potential there. I think a post-Brexit London is super interesting as a setting, and that gives them a chance to actually say something, you know, story-wise, and not just sort of white glove it. And then I also think hacking is fun in video games and can be even more fun, and I believe in those guys. So Legion's more exciting to me than almost any other titles. I need to see it, obviously, and I need to play it, blah blah blah, but in Ubisoft I trust at the moment.
Yeah, I was not impressed by the previous Watch Dogs, but this one piqued my interest more than I thought it would. I also hope we see a little bit of a preview of something of the next Assassin's Creed, because Odyssey got me hooked so hard. I want more.
Right.
Pokemon Sword and Shield have been detailed. There's Dynamax Monsters. It's coming November 15. We'll have more to say about this one after the Nintendo Direct, I'm sure. But yeah, it's a game, and it's coming.
Yep. Wow, some of these, real quick, this map they're showing for... like an assault map for Battlefield 5 is beautiful. I mean, I guess we should expect that, but geez Louise, that's realistic looking. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
We're sort of dismissing it, but it looks really good, all of it. Yeah. It's really just that we're not specifically into that game.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, I guess that's about it. Dragon Quest Walk is essentially Pokemon Go with Dragon Quest. So another one to add to the pile.
More excited about that than I should be, weirdly. I kind of I don't know why. I never get into Pokemon. I can't do it. But something else in that vein, and using my phone in that way, is exciting to me. So I'm actually looking forward to that.
Well, this summer you'll have a lot of choice then, because there's the Harry Potter thing and the Minecraft thing and this thing. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's about it for the pre-E3 stuff.
Do you feel like this year was more spoilery than most years? Because we always get some leaks and other stuff, but it feels like there's been a little bit less this year than usual. Less bombshells.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Sony not being there means that there's obviously less to spoil, maybe. There's also a lot of people who announce stuff a little bit ahead of E3. So I think there's still some unknowns. We saw what we were going to see, but... what we were expecting, but I think there's one ace in the hole of every developer, and that's the fact that the next generation of consoles is going to be revealed this E3 with Microsoft, which is going first, if you don't count the forgettable E3 that we're watching right now, which is, you know, expectedly forgettable. It's not like they were saying, we're going to do something amazing. They specifically said it's going to be just amazing.
Yeah, they're hitting my expectations here. This is what I thought they'd do.
Yes. Yeah.
They'd get up and they'd talk about the shit they're doing.
My expectations were that it was going to be forgettable, and it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Microsoft is going first. So every other developer that goes that has a conference can finally announce games that they're developing for next gen. There's an interesting rumor about the next gen Xbox, by the way, which is it would be backwards compatible. Not, you know, like, I'm sorry, forwards compatible, actually. meaning the previous console would be forwards compatible with these games.
Right.
If you get, let's say, Halo Infinite, then you can actually play it on your Xbox One. Mm-hmm. It will not look as good, of course, but you can do that, which would be in line with what Microsoft is trying to do. So that would be pretty exciting. But, you know, it would be a little bit more PC-like. But the point is, a lot of developers might have been holding stuff close to the vest in the previous couple of years, and they will be able to present them this time for the next generation. So,
yeah, it's an interesting concept. And also, you know, the idea that if you go out and buy that S, that new S that's out, the diskless one, the hard drive only, the SAD model, whatever.
Yes.
Or no hard drive, I guess. Well, whatever it is. But that thing in theory could be a perpetual device that you use for whatever their cloud streaming version of all of this is. Like, you may never need to buy another Xbox.
In theory, if that is the case, unless they have added hardware in that SAD edition, any console could be that.
That's
which,
true.
By the way,
that's
is true. A little bit... My hope is that they have some special hardware to reduce lag in the new consoles. If that's not the case, then lag is going to be the lag we know for every game, which is, you know, every service, which is, that's fine. But I hope they do something.
Well, for average players, they may never notice that it's a thing, right? They may never even be, it may not even be a problem for most people. But if you're playing,
right, of course,
if you're playing some shooter and every single millisecond or sub millisecond of latency matters, none of the cloud services are going to be able to achieve that. They just can't yet. Like, that's just not
right
on the table.
And that's why I hope that Microsoft has some magic, you know, circuit in the box that makes that less noticeable.
Right.
But and by the way, it is true that there's going to be added lag, but a lot of people often forget that you also get the benefit of everyone players most of the time being hosted on the same server farm, so the lag on the network's end is reduced, so that helps a little bit with the lag. But yes, I completely agree, this is going to be a factor for core gamers, competitive gamers.
Well, and it's never been better. Like, that I'll full on say, like, what we're about to achieve here, it's never been better. But mm-hmm. It's not, you know,
well,
no one's going to do
the
esports tournament.
That's why the people like us are going to buy the box, and
right,
we're going to want to play locally. And
right. You know what they haven't talked about here? Maybe they're talking about it right now. I tried out that Doom 2 NVIDIA RTX freaking the ray tracing demo thing.
Oh, the ray tracing that they did on the 30-year-old game?
Yeah, it is amazing. Like, I first of all, I understand why they do use such an old game, because first of all,
wait, do you have an RTX?
Yeah, I do. I have a 2080.
Nice.
And it is amazing, even for that old ass game. That real-time lighting stuff is really something. Like, it is something. Like, I've never seen anything
quite
like it.
That's interesting, because it doesn't seem that incredible on video. It looks good, but it doesn't seem mind-blowing.
In 60 frames per second on a big screen in front of your face, it is weird. It really blows your mind. And I mean, the reason I bring this up is Battlefield's always touting how they've got some features on the PC that'll do this with NVIDIA cards. I don't know if any of that's practical or not, and certainly not at full resolution. But when we finally get to a place where GPU computing and CPU computing power can do real-time lighting in the way that stuff's designed, we're all going to just be in heaven. It's amazing what it does to the world. Really, really something.
It's really cool to hear that, because what I've heard before was that it wasn't that exciting for the current games.
Well, for current games, it probably isn't, because the current games fake a lot of stuff. So it's not like they don't have lighting.
Right.
You have sources of lighting in video games, but they're these static, fake things. If you've got sunlight, there's no such thing as an actual sunlight in a game. And it may still be pretty, but if you can make a game where the sun is behaving in a way that real light behaves and the world is being computed in real time with that light, it just changes everything, and every object in the game is beholden to this dynamic system. And it's
right.
It's hard to explain, but it... unbelievably
but that's
cool.
That's the feedback I've been getting is in Battlefield and in Tomb Raider, the games that have the system implemented, it is not as mind-blowing as people make it out to be, or as NVIDIA claims, but you're saying it actually is.
I'm because saying
it is implemented in Battlefield and
it
Tomb
is,
Raider.
It is, but not globally. Like, it's small okay. settings, because you can't. No, nobody's got... Even these GTA or these RTX cards aren't enough to do full world stuff with new games, with all the things new games do. That's why they demoed this on such an old game, because there's a simplicity to it where you can say, all right, everything can handle it. So let's have it all there. And that's when you get the sense of it. I don't think you can get a sense of it with any of the new stuff. And it's a little like VR. It's like a cool helmet in the late 90s and everyone going, oh, VR, VR. But really, it took them another 15 years to get it. It's probably going to be like that. But when they get there, oh, it's going to be awesome.
Well, the next generation is definitely going to have ray tracing. So even if you'll have to make a choice between the best graphical quality and ray tracing, and maybe ray tracing is going to be used in interesting ways.
Yeah, like audio. Audio stuff is interesting, right? Because they talk about using that same concept, but with audio and tracking where sound moves and... You know, basically.
Well, I meant more like indie games that will have ray tracing that will look incredible, like, you know, Doom, or maybe ray tracing in 2D games or something, you know.
That's a really good point. I mean, the truth is, we got so good at faking lighting in games that...
That's the thing,
It's just like almost like, you know, not that big a deal, but when they get it in a world like Battlefield or something like that, and they get that running at full, you no longer have to have lighting models. You just have light. Like, you just have sunlight and lamplight and gun flash, and the entire world reacts to lighting constantly in every second. But just imagine the rendering power of that, and that's why we haven't had it up till now. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. So am I. Hopefully next gen we'll see a little bit of that. Yeah. They're showing islands in the Pacific in Battlefield 5, which look really good. Well, both the actual islands that they went to film, and I think we saw a little bit of a render. Maybe it was just concept art. Maybe that's why it looked so good. So there's that coming as well. I think we're gonna... I don't know if you want to continue watching EA, but I think we don't necessarily need to.
No, we probably don't. I mean, they don't
bring this to a close.
They probably don't have much more of us to say, but here's the deal. Tomorrow really is the big rubber meets the road. Because Microsoft does is going to be everybody's on pins and needles. Okay. Like, this is their big chance to not only redeem themselves from a kind of a rough generation, but, to fulfill a whole lot of promises they've had for a couple of years now that they keep making and that I think they're going to try really hard to deliver on. And I'm more excited about Microsoft and their future than I have been in a long time. So that's my perspective, but, we come hell or high water, Patrick and I are going to cover that one. We're going to do it live. And we'll actually talk about what's happening on screen. I mean, EA, look, if we'd have been on time today, we would have had, you know, their Fallen Order stuff, which ended up being disappointing in Patrick's eyes anyway. I'm going to go back and watch some of that stuff and just see if it lands on me any differently. But yeah, that's where the stuff gets super exciting. I don't know when Sony's video is. Do you know when they're doing that?
Sony is not doing anything.
But they were doing a direct video thing, and it overlapped with somebody else's conference or something.
No, they haven't. I mean, maybe they're going to drop something at some point, but I don't think so. They've shown the, you know, Death Stranding thing already. I don't think they're going to do anything else. It would be very impolite to do it, but they have been known to be.
It would be very impolite.
Crafty.
Okay, so according to this, the latest information is... is that they... Oh, no, you're right. Let's see. E3, what to expect. I thought I read something, but maybe it was just a rumor floating around that they were going to bust in on somebody else's time slot. So if they do...
Let's put it like that. If they they do something, we will comment on it.
Yes, absolutely. So the next you'll see us will be the Microsoft conference, right? Right.
Yeah, so we're going to do Microsoft tomorrow. Yep. I don't think I'm going to be there for Bethesda because it's the middle of the night for me.
Yeah.
And certainly not for Devolver, which I hate with a passion. their videos, not the the publisher.
Their games are great, but their presentation sucks. Some people really like it though. Some people love it, dude. Like there is a group of people who love that. It's just not me.
Absolutely, and I respect them. Their right to love it. I just personally don't. And also, it's at 5 a.m. for me. So unless I wake up for some reason, but which happens, you know. Today I woke up at 5. So if I do, I'll show up.
Yeah, maybe the baby will barf. Like at 5 a.m., the baby will just go brrr, and then you got to be up to clean that barf anyway. So
yeah, so I'll be in. Like with you guys in the stream holding the baby.
Fantastic.
And then on Monday, there's a VR show. I don't think you can make that one, but PC Gaming will probably do it. And then Ubisoft. And in the middle of the night, again, at 4 a.m, I'm going to try very hard to be there. 4 a.m. for me. The Square Enix conference. Yeah. And the reason I'm going to try to be there is that they're going to showcase Avengers, which is probably going to be a blind purchase for me, but I still want to see
it. Is for me as well. I really hope it's a successor or spiritual successor to, was it Ultimate Alliance? Was that the series on PS2?
Ultimate Alliance gets an actual successor on Switch in like 2 weeks.
Oh, that's true. That's another thing happening. Yeah.
I hope it's
I mean, what if it's poop? What if it's not good? What are you going to do?
Don't even, Scott, don't. That alternate reality does not exist in my mind. It's supposed to be a game as a service, of course, Destiny. The big question would be there, how do you get power upgrades? Like, how do you progress your character in a game like that?
Yeah.
Because I think it's been confirmed that you play the actual Avengers, not some random generic hero. Mm-hmm. It's Crystal Dynamics and they know their stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, anyway, we'll discuss this on Monday. Hopefully I'll wake up. So what I'm going to do is watch Ubisoft with you and comment it.
Yeah.
Then go to bed for 3 hours, wake up for Square Enix, and then go to bed again, maybe.
Yeah.
It's going to be really difficult, but that is what we do for you.
Well, I may push TMS up an hour so that I can be there for that VR thing because I kind of wanna see what that is.
Well, I'll be there if you're there. I'll be there.
Yeah, you'll definitely be up then. So I'll see what I can do. But anyway, thanks for joining
us,
everybody.
And then Nintendo on Tuesday and Buxels, where we actually summarize everything. Do you know when we're doing this? We haven't decided.
No, but I'll bet we could. Wednesdays are crazy. Probably we'll sum it up by Wednesday or Thursday. I'm sure we'll figure out a time there.
All right.
We always do every year.
We'll do something.
Kind of a nutty year schedule wise, but I'm very excited about it nonetheless. And so next time you catch this will be Monday. In the meantime, check out Patrick, not Patrick on Twitter. Find me at Scott Johnson. We'll certainly be saying things there as well. And our shows, of course, FrenchSpin.com. Go find Pixels. Fantastic show about video games. Patrick does. He does it with guests here and there. I've been on there. It's fantastic. And if you want to check out my gaming
shows. You're on there right now.
I am literally on the Earth show right now. And also, Patrick, I don't want to blow your mind, but you're on mine right now, too, which is so weird.
This is better than ray tracing, Scott.
That's right.
This is the future.
And literally this year, it's going on 2 feeds. So go check out the Boot feed. Check out the Core feed. Both of those shows are completely game related, and they'll have this on there as well. And if you're hearing it there, you already know that. You can find those at frogpants.com. I guess that's going to do it. Patrick, any other final thoughts before we go?
We love you all. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.